And we appreciate it.
Our text this morning is Psalms 133:1. 133:1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity means joined as a whole. How good and pleasant it is. We thank the Lord for the unity that He is giving. We spoke not long ago, and we talked to you about how we felt like that the Lord had done something so special for our congregation, and that He was bringing us together in unity, that how that He was causing us to work as a unit, and that we were able to be in a place to take care of babies, newborn babes in the congregation, that He had helped us with that. Last Sunday night, we had a message and a wonderful, joyful message about what God is doing for us all. And so the Lord this morning has given me a message on unity and the dangers of what happens when you have this kind of unity. So we want to start in Ephesians 4:1-4. It says, Ephesians 4:1-4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Vocation means your calling, your mission, your purpose. It says, the prisoner of the Lord. It's Paul talking about how he was a prisoner. At this time, he may have been writing from an actual physical prison and letting them know, make sure that you're walking worthy. Make sure you're walking worthy of the vocation. Now, I believe that when God begins to deal and work His purpose in our lives and in our lives as a whole and even as a group, such as the church here in Fresno, I believe that when He begins to do that, there is something that begins that happens in all of the individuals that are there. They have a greater desire to please the Lord. They have a greater desire to work on themselves. They have a greater desire to do what is right and best. And they are seeking the Lord and looking to the Lord, and they're working hard on their own lives. Yes. And so that in itself causes unity. Because when we are in one with God, then we are one with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. If we're ducking and dodging, if we're feeling, you know, well, I don't know about that, and I don't know about this, and I, you know, this and that, and I'm living a little bit loose and all, then I don't have a unity. I'm not in unity with God. I'm a little confused, and I'm a little, you know, going around a little bit in a place of not good, having good understanding, and so it's very hard to have unity with that. But when you have people that are working on themselves, and it is their greatest desire to work on themselves and to actually gain ground in their own life, and you know what that causes? That causes people to not look around at everybody else. It causes that. When you're looking at yourself, it causes you to quit looking at everyone else. People watch other people so that they can say, I'm better than that. So that they can say, I know more than they. I have this. I have that. They watch other people to justify and lift their own selves up. But when you have a congregation that is dealing with themselves, that they're ignoring all those things in everybody else, it's not a problem. It's nothing they can do about it anyway. But when they're not dealing with that and they're just dealing with themselves, and every individual is just striving to deal with themselves, you have more unity. because you have the unity that comes from God. So he's saying that we walk worthy of the vocation when we are called with all lowliness and meekness. Lowliness and meekness is a lack of vanity or self. A lack of vanity or self. Lowliness and meekness. With all lowliness and meekness. When there's no big I's and little U's, and when there's no place where we feel like we're better than other people, and when we start having a good, healthy understanding of our own selves. See, when you start dealing with your own self and you start raising above and the Lord begins to tell you things about yourself, what happens is that you start getting a loneliness in your own self, your own self-worth. You start realizing how little you please God. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You find this little thing and that little thing, and you say, oh, Lord, how have you been blessing me over the top of this? How have you been doing that, Lord? But then it makes you feel low. It makes you feel unworthy. And we're to be there. That's where we're to live, in that lowly place, that meek place, a place where we don't think that we're better than other people. And then it says with long suffering, which is, I have a good definition here, patience in spite of trouble, especially troubles caused by others. In other words, there's a cause. They're causing it. Somebody else is causing it. If they weren't causing it, there wouldn't be this trouble. But our long suffering is patience even when they are causing it. Oh, you know what? We have a lot of patience with ourselves sometimes. We let ourselves go a long time. You know, we do this little thing, we say that, we, you know, get out a little order here and we say a little word there and this, and we have long patience with ourselves. But you just let somebody else say one word out of order and we jump all over it. Long suffering, forbearing one another. Forbearing is patience, tolerance, forgiveness, understanding. Do you know, I believe that that's what we have. I believe that that's what we have here in the congregation, is that we have much patience with each other. We have much tolerance of each other. We don't expect everybody to see it exactly like I see it. Do you know there are several ways to get to the right place? There are several ways to get there. We don't all have to walk exactly the same road to get to the same place. We have to obey the same word. But how it works in our life and what steps are taken and how much we understand and God works with our individual understandings and all. So we're all on the same road, going the same way, but we have a lot of differences in our lives because we are not all exact replica copies of each other. We do not all have the same understanding. We do not all have the same personalities. Some personalities are more tender towards certain things in the Word. Other personalities are tender to other things in the Word. And it's hard for them to accept the things that are not so good that they see about themselves. See, we're so different. But when we can have forbearance and we can know that there are differences and we can maintain our confidence and we can maintain our ability to go on working with each other and that we have a place where we don't let the enemy come in and cause us to question one another. It says, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Now, my burden this morning is that we need to be warned about the devil's devices. When a congregation begins to move towards God, when they begin to gain victories, when they begin to work as a unit, when they have unity, when they have that, they are very powerful. They are very powerful. A whole congregation can be very powerful. Not just a few people in it, but the whole congregation, even though we may on different levels of understanding, can be very powerful in the world. They can be a power that God can use and can deal with and work with. So, you think the devil's going to leave that alone? For a long time, we were being attacked by physical things. Do you remember? Do you remember how many things we were all going through? Different things, different illnesses. It seemed one after another. If somebody was sick every week, we were, we struggled and everything. And it was even brought out in service. This is the enemy attacking us. It was. The enemy thought, I'll do something. I'll get them to where they can't be in service all together, and they have to be struggling at home, you know, working with their illness and their pain and their sufferings and everything. I'll get them all divided up. We won't have this unified prayer. But the Lord brought us through. Okay, that's not the only trick the devil has. That was just one. Dear ones, he's going to come against us. He's going to come against us in some of these. The walking worthy part. He's going to try to introduce and put things before you that'll cause you to waver. All of a sudden, you may feel this temptation that you haven't felt in a long time. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling it. It's because the enemy is endeavoring to get you to where that you are not walking worthy. He feels like that he can get you to turn. He can put enough temptations. And if he can't get you to turn and he can't get you to succumb to the temptation, he'll get you wondering and confused in your mind saying, why am I being tempted like this? What have I done? Nothing. Nothing. The devil's a liar. And then our vocation. Walk worthy of the vocation. In other words, your calling, your mission, your purpose. That we walk worthy to be a representation of God. The devil's going to want us to falter in that. He's going to want to bring something in to where we make some kind of a mistake that would cause people to look at us funny. Do you know that we're all subject to mistakes? All of us are subject to mistakes. So you're going to see a mistake in each other. It's going to happen. What are we supposed to do with those? Pray for one another. We are to always give them the benefit of the doubt. We are never to say, oh, they did that on purpose. Oh, they were trying to hurt me. No, but you know what? Things are going to be said. Little things are going to be said. Opinions might be voiced. Something will happen. And what the devil is trying to do is he is trying to get you to react against that so that you no longer have that strong unity so that he can break up what God is trying to do. And we all need to be aware of how the enemy is going to try to do this to us. Because if we are going to live fully dedicated to him, and we want to be a power in God's hands for this area, for our area right here, and for every place else that we pray for, then we have to watch for the enemy coming in and trying to destroy our unity. Our unity is what gives us the strength we need. You being unified with the with the God in your own life is what gives you strength with God. The church being unified together with one another is what gives us strength as a unit working for God. And the enemy is not happy. There's going to be suggestions that the devil's going to put in your mind about each other. That you're going to see a little something here or a little something there. And then he's going to suggest something to you. And you know what? Sounds reasonable. See, he works with reasonable. My son told me as he listened to that message there in Dallas, and he said how the minister had said that the devil comes in and it just sounds reasonable. That's one of his best tools, is that it sounds reasonable. Because see, we like to use our minds. We like to figure things out. We like to think that we're intelligent and can understand some things. And so when we get suggested something to us, then, and it seems reasonable, and this thing seems to point to it, and that points to it, and this over here points to it, I must be right. Unity. Unity is fighting against those kinds of thoughts and things. It's saying, whoa, wait a minute. Just like when we were talking, I believe it was last week, we were talking about not receiving gossip. Somebody comes to bear a tale about somebody, and we immediately say, no, don't want to hear it. That's what we need to do in our own minds, dear ones. I don't want to hear that about them. And then you need to start listing all the good qualities that you know about them and why they're saved and how they've proved how they're saved and how they have walked and what they have learned and what they have testified about. We're going to have to fight to keep the unity that we have. It says endeavoring, trying hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're going to have to work at it, dear ones. We can't let the devil divide and conquer us. Because if you let him divide us, he will conquer us. He will have us. Why is it such a joy? Why is it such a joy to come to service? Because we are all unified. And there is a strength that is there. There is a blessing that is there. There is something that grabs a hold of you when you come through the door, and you are immediately made better. That it's a wonderful unity that is working. And we have to have that, dear ones. But the devil wants us to be separate. He's going to come against us. He's going to come in and try to tell us stories about each other. He's going to tell you stories about somebody here in the congregation. So something's going to happen that looks like that story is true. Don't receive accusations. Don't receive accusations against others. We pray for them. Because listen, dear ones, just take a look at yourself. Just remember the mistakes that you have made. Just remember the things that weren't necessarily that much of a mistake. I just didn't quite do it right. And I kind of knew I wasn't doing it right. But nobody talked about me. Nobody threw me out. They prayed for me. And I was able to recover really quickly. That's what we need, dear ones. We are the body of Christ. All right, moving on to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now I'm going to tell you what's happening. We're having the same judgment. Have you been noticing that we're having the same judgment? That we're united on the projects that need to be done? That we are willing to let others have their say in all? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that we're willing to let somebody else choose the color for the dining hall? It may not be your favorite color. But do you notice how we've just let that be? That we've let somebody else carry a burden for it? And we're just thankful that it's done and that it's getting done? That's unity. That's having the same judgment. It's not having the same likes. See, there's a difference. Some people might not like yellow. But it's okay, because you know what we do? We say, well, it looks nice. It's clean. It's nice. It's and you know what? People are going to notice, and they're going to say things. They're say, and there's going to be people come in and say, and they're going to say, oh, this is so beautiful, because they love yellow. And there's going to be other people come in and say, "Ooh, this is bright," because they're not a yellow person. But see, our judgment's the same. Hey, they're doing what the Lord wants them to do. And you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm going to let them pick the color. That is a wonderful thing. Do you know how many churches divide up over colors of carpets, colors of walls, pews, things of that nature? Have you ever sat in on a business meeting where they argued about those things? Everybody had a good idea. We should have yellow because it should be bright and cheery, and we're all about joy and letting our light shine. And there's others going to say, but there's a comfort. You know, we need soft, cool colors because it's comforting, and the Holy Spirit is comfort. He said He would send us back the Comforter. You see how the devil can use the Scriptures against us. But we're all having the same judgment. My judgment is, it's good. It's good. Even if I wouldn't put it in my home, it's good. That's what it means here. We're having the same judgment in those kind of things. We're having the same judgment on what needs to happen and how we need to live. And we're all moving forward. And we're all being more of what God would have us to be. And we're winning battles. We're winning victories. We're winning victories in our families. There are things happening. We can see it all happening. And what are we doing? We're all praying for each other. We are perfectly joined together. It says, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Perfectly joined together. We are perfectly joined together. It's like a husband and a wife. They can be perfectly joined together. The husband may not like the color of the kitchen either, but he wants his wife to have it her way. She may not like the kind of car they drive, but she wants him to have his way. You see what I'm saying? You can be joined together and have differences. It's okay. It's just about likes and dislikes. It's the way you do it in your own house or your own way or whatever. But we have learned to allow each other to have input and to allow each other to make the decision without anybody interfering. And that's a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful thing. You remember how that perfectly joined together, not having any divisions, it says, no divisions among you. Do you remember the disciples when they were following with Jesus and he overheard their discussion? And that one was, they were discussing about who was going to sit next to him. Oh, wanting to have the chiefest seats and wanting to have the best place and wanting to be recognized as the most spiritual and wanting to be recognized as the one that has the answers. But we are becoming more meek and more lowly in those things. And we need to recognize that we are. And we need to realize that that is unity and that is good. And that we need to fight against anything that comes in to mess that up. The devil is not going to leave us alone, dear ones. He is going to come after us with a vengeance. We have new converts. We are fighting for them every day, fighting that and praying for them and praying together and working together about all these things. The devil is not pleased. He is going to come. He's going to come against you individually. He's going to tell you stories about your neighbor. He's going to tell you stories about somebody else. And you need to stop it. You need to stop it in its tracks. And you need to endeavor to keep the unity. It's going to take effort, dear ones. There have been many, many, many times that the Lord has worked down through the ages of times. Different times of refreshing, different times of God, reformation, God calling his people together and unifying them. But every reformation at some point fell apart. Why? Because that joy and unity they felt in the beginning, when the enemy came in to destroy it, they began to listen to him. They began to take up faults with one another. They begin to understand this one isn't this and that one isn't that and what are they thinking? And instead of endeavoring to keep the unity, they begin to split up. Yeah. Anyway, you remember what? And you remember the time? Do you remember the time when Peter, Jesus was telling him about how he's going to be crucified and Peter said, oh no. And you remember what Jesus said to him? It's pretty strong. Get thee behind me, Satan. In other words, it was Satan's words. It wasn't God's words. God would have never said that. It was Satan's words that came out of Peter's mouth. Do you know sometimes Satan's words can come out of our mouths? It's not that they're necessarily evil. It's not that they're necessarily bad, or it doesn't have to be cussing and telling horrible things. No, it can just be our opinion can come out and it be destructive. And we need to realize we may say something sometime and somebody may rebuke us. Oh, you're going to have to endeavor to keep the unity there. You're going to have to endeavor to keep unity there. Just like in a marriage, and that's what this is, the church is married to Christ. Just like in a marriage, the husband and the wife can have words, but if they don't endeavor to keep the unity after those words have been said, they will separate forever. And you see it happening over and over. Because they didn't fight hard to keep it. It was more important to be right. It was more important to be hurt. It was more important to be upset and hold a grudge and have unforgiveness. It was more important to do that than it was to keep the unity. The devil's coming after us, dear ones. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Envying is desire to have what belongs to others. Strife is anger, bitter disagreement over fundamental issues. And of course, divisions are separations. This is a vision that the brother is talking to this congregation. He's talking to this congregation. This is a congregation he's talking to. He's not talking to an individual. This is written to a congregation. Listen, I can't even speak to you as spiritual because you're yet carnal. You're all still trying to have your own way, trying to be better than the other and trying to rise above the other and pointing out everybody's faults and pointing out everybody's mistakes and talking and gossiping behind each other's back. He says, I've even fed you with milk, just the basic rudiments, because you can't handle the meat yet, but because you're just not able to bear the meat. But he says here, for whereas there is among you this envying and strife and divisions, you're carnal. Congregations need to understand that when they have these kinds of things working between any two people in a congregation, it affects the strength of the congregation. This one is saved, that one is saved, they have an argument. They have maybe a bitter disagreement about something. They haven't been able to rectify it. It begins to cause bitterness in the congregation. They seek others to see their side. They try to prove that the way they're doing it or how they're saying it is the right way. And it causes disruption. And nobody can keep going forward with a purpose to serve the Lord and to work in His kingdom and for the salvation of souls and for praying people through and for doing all the works that God has in His Word while that disruption is going on. It's very, very difficult. But people need to be filled with the Spirit of God. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will not be carnal, all about me, selfish, what I think, what I know is best, my ideas, my way. You will be linked up with the Spirit in God, and the Spirit in you will be linked up with the Spirit in everyone else in the congregation. To not have the Spirit of God is very, very dangerous in a congregation. It's why we teach that once you're saved, that you should go on and get and be filled with the Spirit. Because without the Spirit, you are carnal. And you need the Spirit to be a blessing to the congregation. You need the Spirit to be able to fulfill unity, to be able to love your brother like you should. You need the Spirit for that. You will not get it without the Spirit. You will get a portion of it. You will have some, but it won't be good enough. It won't be good enough to carry you all the way through. It won't be good enough to heal all the hurts. It won't be good enough to help you forgive everybody like you should. It won't be enough. You need the Spirit of God. First Corinthians 12, 25 through 27. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Do you remember when the children of Israel came up to the Canaan land and they sent the spies in? Remember? Now, they came out They came out of Egypt, great, triumphant. You know, when they left in Egypt, they were in unity. They were in unity. Nobody stayed behind. Nobody thought this was a bad idea. They didn't know where they were going, but nobody thought it was a bad idea. They triumphantly walked out of Egypt and were on their way, and they were rejoicing and everything. They were in unity. But what began to happen? It's like they were in lockstep with each other, you know. But they got to the Red Sea, and some of them began to wonder what's happening here. How are we going to go across here? And they hear the chariots coming. They hear the roar, the thunder in the ground of the chariots and the army marching towards them. And there began to be division through fear. They began to question, wait a minute. You know, some of them no doubt were thinking, is it too late to just turn around and head back towards them? You know, and then they'll just let us just go with them back into Egypt. What are we doing here? And then they get on the other side. Oh, what a triumphant entry on the other side. They got on the other side. What a wonderful thing. But it happened again, didn't it? They were all in unity when they came out on the other side. None of them stayed on the other side and didn't walk down that path through the water. None of them stayed. They all came. They were in unity again. Oh yes, this is the way. We can all clearly see this is the way to escape. And they were in unity. They got on the other side, and then they come to the land and they send the spies in. The spies come back out. And the majority of the spies reported, oh, you should see these people. You know, how are we going to do this? And two of them said, we can do this. Why? Because they were still unit. They were still unified. They were still unified with the cause and with the purpose and with the understanding that if God can do this, then He can do this. And we don't have to be afraid, and we can go forward. So what happens sometimes in the congregation? There's things that come our way. Things that come in people's lives. Sometimes they get scared. Sometimes they don't know what to do. Sometimes they wonder what they should do, if they should do it this way or do it that way. And the congregation is here. Some of the congregation might feel like, well, they should do this. Others in the congregation might feel like they should do that. But do you know what we do when we're in unity? We pray and we say, Lord, show them what to do. Because, see, I'm not always right. I may not have enough information to make a good conclusion. Unity, really striving for unity. They didn't have unity. And then God got upset with them, and He told Moses to get out of the way. I'm done with these people. I'm going to destroy these people. And Moses stood in the gap before him. He did that several times. Kept him, the Lord, from destroying them several times. And what did he use for the Lord? He always told him, but God, it'll be you that'll be evil spoken of. It won't be these people. It'll be you. Because you brought us out in a triumphant way. And now if you just kill everybody, they're all going to say there was nothing to it, Lord. It'll be your reputation that is damaged. Yes, these people probably deserve it, but it'll be your reputation, Lord. It'll be what people think about you and the earth. And God was turned. Listen, dear ones. There's going to be many, many things that come against us. There's going to be ways of going forward, and one thinks we should go forward this way, and another thinks we should go forward that way. Mm-hmm. But we want to remember the purpose of God in going forward. The purpose of God. It is not about what I think about it. It is about what is God's purpose in it. What would be His reason for having this and us going forward and us doing this. Why? And we've got to keep that in mind. To keep the unity, we have to keep looking for God's answer and not ours. We can't depend on even decisions we've made in the past that are similar. We can't depend on those because God may have a purer way to lead us now. We have to keep going forward. So, and it says in 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it.
Yes.
Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's been happening with us, dear ones. It's been happening with us. As you watch our brothers and sisters going through hard things, and as they tell you of their struggles, and they tell you where they're at, we shed tears for them. We shed tears for them. And when they tell of their victories, we're happy and rejoicing. We have had so many. I want you to pay attention to what's been happening. We have had so many services where we were weeping. And we have had so many services where we have all been happy and rejoicing and singing victory songs. That happens because of unity. The Spirit has free reign to go up and down the aisles and touch people as He will. And just because we don't have any standoff in us, oh, they're the one standing up. They're the one talking. We don't have any push off. We're accepting. We're accepting. Why? We look at each other and we go, yeah, they're not perfect. And neither am I. I keep a good, solid understanding that I'm not perfect either. That causes unity. When we're not fighting and picking and devouring one another. But the devil is not happy. He is going to work in your mind. He is going to bring things to you. He is going to make it logical. It's going to look right. It's going to sound right. But you cannot accept these things when the enemy presents them to your mind. You have to always keep in mind, if this is you, God, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this? If God ever reveals anything to you about another person, why is He telling you that? So that you will get under a burden of prayer. And guess what? He's not going to tell it to you if you have a problem being able to get under a burden of prayer when somebody might be doing something that's a little different than you. See, if you can't get under a burden of prayer for them because, well, they brought it on themselves. You see what I'm saying? Instead of having compassion and concern and saying, wait a minute, Lord. Oh, this is terrible what's happening to them. And Lord, they need your help so bad right now. Just bless them. Why? Why? Because I love them. That's why. We studied on love. And how are they going to know us? For the love we have for each other. That's one of the things some of my children said. Well, you really love each other. That's a good testimony, dear ones. When the world can see that you really love each other. Because you know what they do? They get all smiley up in the face and they hug and kiss and say, oh, and they walk away and go... They know the difference when they see genuine love. That you said something last week that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit, but you know what? Nobody will ever know it. Because I went home and dealt with it. See, I dealt with it. I didn't say, it's your fault I feel like this. No, you just said something and a feeling rose up in me. And that feeling is my responsibility. Yes. It is not yours. Yes. And God is going to use each other, us, to do that. He's going to have us say a little something, and we might feel like, well, that was a little insensitive. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. That rose up in you. You have to go home and take care of that. It's not their fault. Feelings don't rise up in us because of other people. They rise up because they're there. And God wants us to discover them. And then walk worthy of your vocation. Which is, I deal with those things in private, at home, by myself, without letting anybody else know, so that we can continue to have unity. Because if I tell one other person, now I have two that may be out of unity. God, I'm telling you, dear ones, be ready. Be ready. The devil is going to try to pain us in this next, who knows how long, try to paint us that we are so insensitive to each other, that we don't love each other, that we're just excusing wrong, that I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. Because he couldn't keep us down with physical issues. We rose above it. We fought through it. We kept coming anyway. So now it's going to get more personal. And he's going to just try to destroy the unity that we have. These are his tools, dear ones. We need to have a good understanding of the devil's tools. So we suffer with the ones that are suffering. When one is honored, we rejoice. Yes. Do we rejoice when the other's honored? Yes, Lord. Yes. Help us to rejoice in it. Two people can be trying to gain the same kind of, I don't know, something in life. Two saints. They're both praying and asking the Lord to work on this item and this thing in their life. And they need help and they need this. And they have maybe testified about it. And they know that other person's working with it. And they're working with it. And then all of a sudden that other person has wonderful victory. And I'm still under it. Listen, dear ones. We better be able to rejoice with that one. Because that may be our victory. That may be what Lord is wanting for you to do to gain the victory. Is to be able to rejoice when somebody else receives it and it looks like you haven't yet. The devil's coming after us, dear ones. And we need to be aware of his devices. And we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the faith. Unity of the spirit. That we can become and be a power in God's hands. That we can remain a power. That we can see more saved. We can see God dealing in more areas. Don't you know it's our unity in prayer that is doing this? You can't have unity in prayer when you have disagreements on the surface. Can't happen. You have to have those things taken care of. You're going to have to deal with your own, so to speak, demons by yourself to keep the unity of the faith. You're going to have to beat yourself down. Beat your ideas down. Beat the enemy out of your head. Spreading lies about the others here in the congregation. I'm telling you, it's coming. And you need to be aware of what is coming to know how to fight against it. A lot of us are going to have hurt feelings. Over the next year, probably. We're going to have hurt feelings. It's a wonderful thing when God warns us ahead of time what's coming. Because we might be able to recognize it. We might be able to see where it's coming from. Oh, dear ones, we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight to keep the unity. We're going to have to fight. All right, Romans 12, 10 through 15. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. In honor, in other words, choosing others instead of myself. That's how I prefer you. I choose you instead of myself. I let you pick yellow when I wanted blue. You see what I'm saying? That's honoring. That's preferring one another. Because it's all these everyday life situations that will trip us up. We're not going to go out and sin. We're not going to pick up and go out back out in the world and pick up this and pick up that. That isn't what's going to take us out. That isn't what's going to break our unity. It's all of the normal everyday things going on around us. That we're making decisions on every day, those are the things the devil's going to use to try to trip us up. Yes. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Yes. Dear ones, our prayers are working. They are working. We don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose the ability that our prayers are working. How many of you have been challenged recently that maybe your prayers aren't fervent enough? Maybe there's something wrong with you. Why would the devil do that? Because they're working. So if he can get you to start doubting your own prayers, you won't be as fervent because you'll have this question in your mind. How many of you have been challenged like that just recently? Dear ones, he's going to challenge us about those things. Everything that works, he's going to have a challenge to. And you need to see him afar off. Don't let him get in close to you, next to you, in your mind, going to bed with you at night to where you're thinking about it and all that. Don't let him do that. Don't let him get that close. Recognize him afar off and put a stop to it right there. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Caring about one another. Yeah. I care about what's happening in your life. I care about what's going on. I care about to help you if you need help. I care. I'll put myself out. I'll let my stuff go to help you. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Don't we put our own stuff aside to do what the Lord bids us to do? Then why wouldn't we put our own stuff aside to do what, to go help some, one of our other brethren and sisters? Just put our own stuff aside. Our own stuff isn't that important. We can catch up with it later. It'll be messed up tomorrow. Even if you get it all done today. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. Dear ones, there is strength in unity. In endeavoring to keep the unity between us all, there is strength. The devil is going to get in, try to get in your head and try to get you to have feelings, to have hurt feelings, to whatever. He's going to try to get that to happen, to break unity. Because it's working. Our prayers are working. We are becoming a unit. We are becoming a unit that God is able to use to affect others. We are able to open our mouths and testify about what God is doing for us, and it blesses others. We are the unit here in Fresno. And we have to keep the unity so that God can work his purpose. There are many souls here. He wants to reach. Many he is already reaching. Many that are in our families that he has been dealing with for years. Many, many, many. He wants to reach more of them. But it depends on us. We are his body. He does not have a physical body here. We are his physical body. He wants to move through us and move out of us and cause us to not be selfish and our own private interests and only concerned about our stuff. But he wants us to be concerned about his cause, be concerned about each other, be able to reach out and show the great God of heaven that we can be a drawing power to the world. We want to be a drawing power. We want people to come in and the Spirit be so strong that they feel it. That's what we want. That they can't harden their heart against it. That they can't blank out their mind against it. We want them not to just go through the motions, but we want them to be affected. That's going to take prayer. So we need to pray in unity for our meeting that's coming up. That souls will be saved. That believers will be sanctified. That bodies will be healed. We need to pray. We need to pray for the ministers coming. That the devil would be rebuked on their behalf. They would bring the messages for the hour. That it would be just what we need. We need to pray in unity for these things. We all need to sacrifice and be what God and help in any way we can, what way God wants us to, so that our meeting can be a success. That's his work. It's not just all about us coming here and getting comfort and us coming here and being rejoicing and being glad and glad to be with other believers and having fellowship. It isn't all about that. It's about his work. Don't ever forget, this is about his work. And we have to be in the center of it. And the only way we can be a real power in his hands is to have unity. So don't let the enemy come in and break our unity with one another. Amen.